Hi, and welcome to the Vaulting Pod. Today I'm going to interview Lauren from Belgium. Tell me your whole name, because I can't really pronounce it.
Hello, my full name is Lauren van Lerberger.
That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about you. Who are you?
Well, I am Lauren, and I'm living in Belgium. I am 24 years old, and I'm doing vaulting now for like 14 years. Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's already a while. I started with just individual and a little bit like in a small team. And then we went international as individual and like 2 years as a team. And I did 1 year a pas de deux, and now I'm back individual.
All right. Well, so you have been trying both individual and pas de deux then?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you tried team as well?
Yes. When I was a little girl, I did, but it was only for 1 year. We had like a national team. And then I was one of the small girls from the team.
Like the flyer, the small one.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, like the flyer, yeah.
Yeah. What do you like the most?
That's a hard question because I like them both, really. And I really liked the pas de deux also. But right now in Belgium, it's quite hard to make like a team. Because the vaulting sport is not really big in Belgium, and then it's also a little bit harder to make a team to go international. When I was young, I did the national team, but then we were with like 3 girls from one side of our country and then 3 girls from the total other side of our country. We made up one team. But that's what was really hard to train together, because we need to travel like 3 hours when we could see each other to train. And that's really hard to keep training like that if you need to travel 3 hours on the road and then 3 hours back to make every training. That's a lot of time you lose to make the team at his best. So that was a little bit hard, but otherwise I really liked the moments when we were a team or where we did a pas de deux.
All right. Well, and how often did you work out when you had like that far away to go to trainings?
Yeah, we trained a lot in our own club, and we only did one time a week with the whole team together.
All right.
So, yeah.
How is it to live in Belgium? I mean, Belgium is not a country I've been visiting, so I have actually not so much idea about Belgium, and maybe the listeners, I don't have either.
Well, we have really nice places, I think, to visit if you come here once. Yeah, I think Belgium has his own characteristics. But for me, I also prefer to go on a holiday to another country like Switzerland, where you have a lot of mountains, because in Belgium, you won't find any mountain. Everything is flat.
Well, but hiking, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Probably is also nice for like sports that don't need a lot of hills, like going on roller skis, maybe, or...
Yeah, that's true. We do it often here.
Oh, cool.
We go on streets, and then we go with roller skating. Now, the last month is getting, like, a little bit popular to do it. Some people go walking or go running, but last time, a lot of people take their roller skates to go for a while.
Yeah. Do you do something else in sports besides vaulting? Is there something you like to do?
Well, actually, I like a lot of sports. I am really like volleyball, running, cycling. I really do a lot of sports. I like a lot of sports, but I don't have a lot of time to do any other sports. So I do my gymnastic training, and I do also a little bit horse riding, and then we have the vaulting stuff. But I don't really do any other sport. But if I get the opportunity to do some, I really like to grab every chance and to just do another sport.
That sounds great. Well, I think that other sports also can benefit, that vaulting can benefit from other sports. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing if you do something else sometimes, because I think it's good for vaulting as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Awesome. Well, what do you have for horses? What kind of horses do you have when you do vaulting?
I have at this moment 3 horses. And I have one who is competing international. It's like a chestnut horse, and he is around 1.75 meters.
What's his name?
And then I have 2 other horses, but I think now I have them for 2 months, so they are a little bit new. I need to know him a little bit more. They are around 1.72 meters. Something a little bit smaller than my international horse, and they are in training now to do the vaulting stuff, because they came, the one came out from the jumping sport and the other one came out of the dressage sport, so we training them now to get a vaulting horse from them.
What are the names of your horses?
My international horse, his name is Esprit, the chestnut, and then my 2 new horses are Gold, and the other one is Navarro. And I had my first horse that was a black one, his name was Stravinsky. I competed with him like 7 years, and I had him for 10 years. But he died a few months ago on a colic.
That's so sad.
So yeah, that was a really hard period for me.
Yeah.
But I'm really happy with everything he gave me. He was already 23 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, he has been by my side for 10 years, and he has really gave me a lot. So I'm really thankful for all what he gave me.
Yeah, I understand that. My horse died last summer, and I had her for 8 years, so I really understand you. You built such a nice bond with a horse, and you can trust him or her.
Yes, that is. It's hard to put in words, but
yeah,
you know exactly the feeling.
Yeah.
But I'm very thankful with everything I had.
Actually, I felt that it was like I had a child that died. And I think that would be like the most accurate feeling to describe. It felt like it was my baby. I mean, I wasn't taking care of my horse like a baby, but it felt like
it is. So then when he passed away, it took some months for me to get like a little bit over it. And then we started to look for another horse, and par accident, we came up 2 horses. But that's good, because I own a vaulting club in Belgium. I have my own club with 25 girls. So we needed to get up some new horses and train them to do vaulting, because we also need them for the girls in the club.
All right. So do you have more horses besides those 3 for vaulting in your club, or?
We have another horse who is from a girl from our club, who is also in training, in the vaulting training. And then there are some girls who has their own horse, not at our stable, but at another stable where they also train vaulting on.
All right, wow. Well, how does it come you have your own vaulting club? How did you get started?
I was before in another vaulting club where I started since I was a kid. But I think it just came by accident, because I was doing a lot in that vaulting club. Like, I gave every training there, and I did a lot. And I felt for myself I would do more than just give the training, but I really wanted to have like my own club. It was a little bit like a dream to have on one day my own club And because I did already a few years all the trainings of the club where I was, I thought someday it was time now to build up my own club with my friend. And so my friend and I, we made our own club. And I'm happy because it's like a little bit a dream that I'm now running my own club.
Yeah, really? That's awesome. So is this your job or do you do something else besides that?
No, I do some other stuff, but it's kind of bit in the same way. I coach a lot of equestrian people, like jumping people and stuff, to manage their balance on a horse. And to I also give them a little bit personal training to get their body fit, besides being on a jumping parkour.
That's
and besides,
awesome.
Yeah, beside my own club, I also give a lot of private lessons and other group lessons to other clubs and girls in Belgium.
Well, I'm very curious now, how do you train an equestrian who is a jumper? I mean, that's besides the gym part. I mean, obviously, you can give them gym exercises to get a better core and everything. But what do you give them vaulting lessons on your horses or do they do exercises
on
their horses?
No, I don't really give them vaulting lessons. So I always start with one first less in my gym hall just to make them have a better mind about how can you sit on your horse and your balance, because when they jump their parkour in the jumping, they also need to have a really good balance on their horse. So they need it need to be like an automatic point that you're always in balance on your horse, and then you can focus on your parkour. So after that, they came the first training in my gym. Then I go to their stable and they ride with their own horses. First, we start with the saddle, but without the, how you call that in
English? The stirrups?
Yeah, where you put your feet in.
Yeah, the stirrups, yeah.
Yeah, but without that, so then we can see if they can keep their balance and everything, if they can keep their heel under their butt,
mm-hmm.
and they can keep a really straight back. And the opposite in vaulting, we need to keep our toes really down, but they need to keep their heel really down. And if they don't have the stirrups, if they keep the heel and the calf really around
that,
the horse, yeah. And if that is going really good, I also try to let them ride with one hand to don't really have some hard stuff in the side reins from the horse. They really need to sit and just feel the horse without any point in the hands, and then we put off the saddle and we ride without a saddle on the horse, just on the horseback, and see if they can keep their balance and if they get in a good position. Then we do a lot of exercises without a saddle and stuff, and then you see they have a better sitting position and a balance when they are with a saddle in their parkour.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. I like very much when you can mix different type of techniques in different settings, because I think that I'm often thinking about sewing. I do sewing a lot, but you can like mix different techniques, and I think also in sports or when it comes to a certain job, you can always find inspiration in other settings.
Yeah.
And that's so cool, really.
Yeah. thank you. Well, I like to do it a lot. It's like it's the whole day coaching, but it's not always specific vaulting. I do a lot of vaulting coaching in my gym hall or on a horse, but I also do a lot of coaching with just equestrians, so it's cool.
Do you have a license like for a riding teacher in Belgium?
I have a license for gymnastic teacher in Belgium.
All right.
But not yet for a riding lessons.
Yeah.
But if you give your classes for the government, you really need the license. But if you give it like on your own, then it's not really necessary to have your license. But I have mine in gymnastics training.
All right. All right. And also, I'm very curious about your other part of business I heard you having, and that is about sports clothes, right?
Yeah, that's right. We also have a website. It's the website from, it's me and my boyfriend who made it up. My boyfriend is also my lunger when I'm doing vaulting.
Yeah.
So we're running a little bit our business together. And it's with sport leggings and sport tops, sport joggers, a little bit all clothes you need to do on sport, not specific vaulting, but like also running or other sports, that doesn't matter. But we sell a lot in the vaulting world, because I think we are a little bit recognized in the vaulting world. Maybe that's the reason why it sells a little bit better in the vaulting, but you can use it also for other sports.
How did that idea come? How did it start?
Well, it was a few years ago that my boyfriend came up with the idea, and I said, yeah, that would be really nice if I could design my own leggings, because sometimes you go to training and you think, oh, I want to wear something with that and with that. Especially in vaulting life, because you, and in my job also, I'm running like a whole day in a legging. When you see me in a jeans, that doesn't happen really often.
I so understand you. I mean, when I come down the stairs in a pair of jeans to my boyfriend, he looks at me and is like, what are you wearing?
Yeah, I have the same. I have a lot of people who say the same when they see me. They say, oh, I didn't recognize you with normal clothes. Well, okay. Or with my hair is not in like a tail, but just normal. Yeah, but so he started the brand because my boyfriend is doing a lot with a web shop. He makes web shops and makes apps and makes everything like that. He's doing everything on a computer. So he make contact with a company who makes like the clothes, but we make the designs.
How did you find the company?
Yeah, and then he made up our web shop, my boyfriend, and so we started with our little company, but now it's getting already a little bit bigger, and I really like to do it because it's something others. When I have like a day a little bit off, then I going behind my computer and I can be a little bit creative to put some new designs on the web shop. So that's really nice.
How did you find the company?
How do we find that? Well, actually, I don't really know. How is that came? My boyfriend has had contact with some companies, and then one jumped out who was like the best one, and we made it up with that company. But I really don't know how we just searched some and we pick out one after we heard some.
All right. And where are the clothes made?
They are made in Latvia.
All right.
I don't know if you know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they are like, they have some companies who are also in Spain and in, not in Europe, but we only work together with the company places who are located in Europe.
Hmm?
Because it's not not really how do you say that? It's not really I need to think about the words.
Do you think like if you're economy?
Yeah, that's also, it's not really economic and useful to work with companies who are like really far away. Like it's really not useful to use a company who is in America if you have a lot of orders who are just in Europe. That's a little bit.
Yeah.
So we really, because our company has some investigations around the world, but we only pick out the investigations in Europe. So we also need to pick out in our selection of clothes that the clothes are only made in Europe, because some clothes are only made in the USA, for example, but then I don't use that specific kind of clothes in my collection because it's made in the USA.
Right. And what is special with your clothing line? What have you been thinking about when you designed it?
Especially that I need to like it by myself.
Well, I thought maybe if there's something special that works quite well with vaulting or your lifestyle.
No, that's not really, because I really have a various mind. It's not that I really are in one line and it's always need to be like something with flowers because I like flowers. But it can be really various, and it happens also sometimes that I made some clothes and my boyfriend is like, I don't like that design. And then it's okay, but it's my collection, so I put it online. And then sometimes he made some designs, but that happens not so much. But if he has like a creative moment and he also make one of his designs, then sometimes it's not something that I like, but then he also put it online and then we see if orders are coming, and then it's like a little bit between us. You see, people like the design.
Yeah, I get that. Well, tell me, do they produce by order or do they have like a stash with the clothes or no, by
no,
order?
No, it's always by order that they produce. Yeah, so we don't have like a stock or something. It's really when we have an order, then we send it to the firma to design and to print the legging, but we don't work with like a stock or something because it's also better like that for the economic and stuff.
Yeah, really. I really is. Do you also have like, if someone has a special size or something they want to have, that is possible as well?
Yeah, you mean like a very small size or
yeah,
a really big size?
Yeah,
that's no problem.
Oh, that's really cool.
That.
That's
yeah.
Good.
And we also do when you, for example, when you want your name on a special design or you have like a personal question or order, then it's also no problem. We already made a lot of leggings with people who ask to put like a photo, like a picture of their horse on the leg. Yeah, and then we already made some leggings with pictures of their horse or their dog. I had some little children who wanted a legging with their dog, with a picture of their dog on. So that's also no problem. We can arrange that in a personal order.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I like to make it. It's something totally different, but on one side it make it a little bit complete everything.
Yeah. Do you think you like live the life you want to live?
Well, yes, I really do, because when I was younger I never thought I would get out so much out of my vaulting life. I always thought, okay, vaulting is my hobby and that's really cool, but I need to go to school and I need to study and I need to graduate because there is a life and you need to work and make money besides vaulting. But right now, my hobby is like my work and it's everything that I wanted to do and I never thought it would be like that. If you asked me that 10 years ago, I would say, yeah, no, that won't happen. But it is, so that's really nice.
Well, I think that's really wonderful because it should be like that for everybody that you work with what you love, because then you're going to do a good job.
Yeah, that is. It's like your passion, and you can do it like every day, all day. So that's really cool. And I'm really glad that I'm doing what I'm doing now.
Do you feel that you have enough time for your own training?
Well,
Well, I know you can spend like 3 hours and still think it's not enough. I know. But in general, do you think like you're spending, yeah, you're having like, what, I don't know how many days a week you train, maybe five, six. Do you...
Yeah, well, I need to work a little bit on that because I would put myself on the second place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I need to think a little bit more sometimes on, no, Lauren, you had this hours for yourself, for your training, and you don't put that 1 hour later because that coaching that you want to give. And that happens sometimes a little bit too much. And I really know for myself, and some people also, my trainers also say, you need to get your time for your own, because if you want still to be a vaulting athlete at international level, then you really need to give yourself the time you need and don't put yourself on a second place. So I need to be aware of that. And also just to have some moments of rest and time to relax also, because my physiotherapist say sometimes to me, dude, Lauren, take now one time, just Netflix
Yeah, I hear that a lot. People like, aren't you like burn out? And like, no, this is just like my ordinary life. I don't watch TV. But it's when you have a passion, right? You just keep on going. And I mean, of
it
course,
is.
I know sometimes I can feel, okay, I'm feeling tired now, but then I take my time off.
But I think it are some lessons I learn about it, and then in the future I need to pick that up. My mom also can be sometimes a little bit hard. I don't see her a lot, but when I hear her on the phone or something, she is like, Lauren, don't forget yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think I try to like plan every week in the schedule, so because then I know what I'm gonna do. So like every Sunday I'm trying to plan my training for the rest of the week. And of course with horses it is like it is. Okay. The longer did not feel for vaulting today, or the horse did not feel for vaulting. So you have to be flexible too and find other things. Or maybe it's raining the whole day and you don't have a riding arena just that day. And yeah, I mean, there are a lot of obstacles, but in general, I think planning makes it good. And sometimes, you know, when you're like into a thing, like, I think when you're like working with horses, like I'm just gonna fix the stable. Oh, I'm just gonna fix a little bit, and you really have to be like hard to yourself. No, you're gonna do this on Tuesday or next week. You're like, today, you're gonna do this.
It is.
You like get lost in your task. I think sometimes it happens. Me happens all the time.
That's really true.
Oh yeah. Well, do you have like a favorite freestyle theme? I'm gonna change the subject here a little.
A favorite freestyle team, you mean?
No, a theme like your like your suit and music and what's your a theme that's your favorite that you have had in like competition.
Hard question. You mean for what I did before?
Yeah,
Right now?
exactly. Like some you already had.
I think I like the most what I'm doing right now.
Oh, okay. And that's probably still a secret.
No, it's because last year, okay, there were no international competitions, but I did some national competitions, so I showed already my suit and my team. It's like a butterfly who is in the beginning a little bit in his cocoon, and then during the freestyle he's getting unpopping himself and it's getting like a butterfly.
Oh, that's nice. What kind of music do you have for that?
It's just instrumental music, and I searched a long time for it, a really long time, and I just this the song. If you just hear the song, I think you don't really think about the butterfly, but there were so many nice moments in the music. When I heard that song, I really had something, damn, I need to use that for vaulting because you can do so much on that song. I really liked it a lot. It's not with sing or something, it's only with instruments. But when you see the whole thing together, yeah, then you see the act you make from it. But it's not when you play the song, you think, oh, that's a butterfly.
Well, that sounds really lovely. I love butterflies. I don't know if you saw it, but in the background of my screen, I have some butterflies.
Okay. Yeah, nice. I
So,
see.
just say I'm sitting in my butterfly room. It's my sewing room, and I have butterflies here and
Nice.
there.
Yeah. And I made my suit last year with Kim from Sweden.
Oh, yeah, she has done butterfly suits before. I've seen some of them.
I saw also some suits before from a pas de deux. They also wear
Yes.
a butterfly thing. Yeah.
And did she paint the suit, or did you come with the ideas how you wanted it to have?
No, I had some ideas. I had like three photos and prints I made, and I sent it to her and I said, look, that are three paintings. I think that could be really cool, but if we can put that in one, that would be really great. So then she helped me to put the three paintings or designs in one costume, so it's not too much, but it's still nice, and I'm really happy with the results. So
Yeah.
thank you, Kim. It's really good.
Well, she's really talented, and yeah, I have a suit from her as well.
It was the first time I ordered my suits there because normally I do it in like a shop in Belgium, but I saw on the internet a lot of suits coming from there. At the first moment, I was a little bit nervous because everything needs to go by internet and you
Yeah.
never saw the shop in real life, so you don't know how it will fit or are we on the same line with our thoughts and everything. But yeah, afterwards, I'm really happy with the result.
She is really good in doing her the cut of how the suit looks, because she has studied how to cut clothes. So she really has the education behind that as well.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Well, it sounds awesome, butterflies. Yeah. But is there any exercise in your freestyle that you like particularly?
All of them. I really need to pick out one.
Oh no, you don't have to. You can tell me a little bit about it.
When I start, I try to be like a little bit in a cocoon, and I need to unpop myself. And then I really like my double ground jump.
All right.
It's like, yeah, two times in a row you jump on the
Yeah.
outside, and then you go back on the inside, and then I do one more on the inside. I really like that part because there are not so many female vaulters who do that. You see it a lot with the boys, but not so much with the girls.
How did you learn that?
I learned it from Jacques, and Rob also learned me a little bit how to manage the double ground jump. And I do it already a few years, but it's getting like so used and an easy part, and I really like it because it's still cool to do.
How was it in the beginning to learn it? Did you feel, was it hard, or were you afraid, or?
It was really hard because at the first moment you do your first ground jump and then you need to go over the grips, And when you're again on the ground for the second one, then it happens a lot that you're not in the movement with the horse to get on again.
Yes.
But yeah, you just train and you keep training. I first did it as a dismount. So I did a ground jump, I go over the grip and I go off the horse. And then I did it as a double ground jump. Yeah, but it's still a cool one. I had also one time a really big injury of it.
Oh no.
But yeah, I did it and I could not get up on the horse again. And he was a little bit scared from what I was doing beside him. And my shoulder dislocated.
No.
Oh. Yeah, and then I needed an operation and a revalidation from 6 months. So that was not so fun. But at the moment, I'm jumping him again and I still love the exercise.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. It must be like the most expensive sport because we hurt ourselves. We don't earn any money by competitions or anything. Yeah. We just spend money, money, money. And then we hurt ourselves.
Everything only for the love of the sport.
Yeah, yeah. I think vaulters are really crazy people.
Yeah, you hear a lot of people who are saying, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's dangerous. And then I always tell to everyone, yeah, okay, but you also can fall from the stairs.
Yeah. And probably we will not fall from the stairs because we have a good technique of falling and knowing how to bail out of different falls and save ourselves in the falls.
Yeah, that's true. But sometimes you also have injuries.
Yeah.
Like I had last summer, I had a clinic and I helped a girl who was doing a dismount from the croup. And the horse was just standing still, you know, he was just standing still.
Yeah.
And I was on a little step.
Yeah.
I think it was like 30 centimeter high, not more. I was just standing on it and I put my feet on the wrong place and the stair was going down and Lauren was also going down
and
my ligament of my feet was broke.
Oh, totally. No. Well, yeah, sometimes it's not like the big things that make you get injured, it's like the small stupid stuff where you're like angry at yourself afterwards.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Then you do vaulting, but you broke your ligament from 30 centimeter high because...
Oh my, yeah.
But yeah, that's life.
Well,
no worries.
What is your biggest dream in vaulting? What do you dream of?
I really dream to be in a relaxed way on a big competition and maybe one time in a podium on a big championship. That would be really great. But you feel that you need to train a lot because the level is getting every year higher and higher and higher.
Indeed.
So, but that is a really big dream.
All right. Well, and what are like your greatest accomplishments for yourself? I mean, it doesn't have to be medals. If it is medals, it's fine. But what would you consider are your greatest accomplishments in your vaulting career?
I think I won a few times the Belgian championship.
Mm-hmm.
And on international level, when I was a junior, I won some CVI. One CVI I won, and then second CVI I was second place when I was the junior two-star. So that's something I'm really proud of. And now I still want to get some nice achievements in the senior class.
What is your favorite competition? Or do you remember like one that you really liked?
I like them all. But I think Saumur in France, I really like that CVI because you have also a really nice town to go before or after the CVI. You can go to town to eat something. And I also liked when I was a junior, I did sometimes the CVI in Frenstadt in Czech. This was also a really cool CVI.
Have you ever competed on a different horse that wasn't your horse?
Yeah, I did a lot when, especially when I was a junior, and I think that's a really good opportunity to train and to do experience on. But I also learned of it that you never can be like at your best because you only can have like a few trainings before you go on that horse, and then you need to go to competition. You don't know the horse totally. But I think it's really good experience. I did it also a lot and I learned a lot of it. I'm very happy that I did that. But I think at the moment I am now, I prefer to start on my own horse.
Yeah. Well, when you have the possibility, it's awesome. I mean, that's wonderful. But also I think that when we have vultures from different parts of the world, it's not easier to ship around the horses, especially since there is no money in the sport, so it's hard to get funded by government or a
That
competition.
really is, and I really have a lot of respect for vaulters who came like from USA or from far away and who start here on a horse just borrowed and they just win a CVI, then I have really big respect for some people.
How do you train your horses besides vaulting? What do you do with them?
We ride them a lot for especially dressage riding, and they go also in the aqua trainer, you know, like an
Yeah.
aqua trainer for horses.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like treadmill with
They
water.
have such an aqua trainer on her on our stable. The owner of the stable is like a girl who is doing dressage on a high level, and she's taking care of all of the horses. She has an aqua trainer and a spa trainer, and yeah, like everything to for horses who are on revalidation, but also for horses to get in training and to train their muscles. So it's a good.
Compliment, maybe.
Yeah. To get them in an aqua trainer besides we ride them.
Yeah. Water training is always very good for horses, indeed.
So yeah, that's how we train the horses.
What do you think is the hardest part with vaulting?
I think that's for everybody a little bit different because every person is different, and for some people, the hardest part will be just don't have fear to fall or something. For other ones, it will be more like getting strength in some exercises. But I think you really need to have like a clear mind. And don't be afraid to fall one time from your horse if you have like the how you call that the dare.
Yeah, if you dare, you have to dare, yeah.
You have to dare a lot, and I think if you dare a lot, then you get really far.
Yeah.
But if you're too much too afraid, and that's really hard because it's in the mind and you need to keep that out of your mind. Then it's really working on it.
Yeah, I really do understand you. There's like a video in Sweden that is like instruction for vaulting for basic, and it's called Dare to Vault. And a lot of times I think of that sentence because in vaulting it's so much being able to dare.
Yeah, and I see it also in my own club with my girls. The ones who dare more are getting easier far than the ones who are more afraid. And I know you can be afraid because I am afraid too when you do exercise. You can be really proud on yourself if you don't have a lot of fears because then you will get really far.
What are you afraid of when you're training?
Well, especially I'm not really afraid to fall off my horse because I don't like to fall off my horse, but it's really like when I'm standing or I'm jumping and I lose my balance, it's really like a reflection in my head and it's just like, okay, jump off and don't grab the single or do some stuff. But it's just For example, when your horse is doing crazy and it's really unexpected that he's scared of something, then it's more like a falling moment that you're not really can control. So that's something I'm more afraid of, because when you lose your balance, then you just control, I jump off. But when the horse is doing some crazy stuff, and okay, it's still a horse, it's still an animal who can be afraid of something, and he is reacting, for example, when you just are doing a really difficult exercise and you fall off because it was really unexpected, that's something that makes me more scared.
I really understand you. I'm also not very much afraid of doing a lot of stuff, and people often like, why don't you feel afraid? And it's like, that's just the way I am. I mean, of course, I'm not like a super good vaulter. I've just been vaulting for 6 years, and I'm 32, so I'm started quite old.
That's nice.
Yeah, and I love it. It's my life.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I totally feel you. When you have a horse that you don't know how it will react, it's much more harder. I mean, I had my old horse. She was 21 years old. I knew what I could do and what I couldn't do. I knew she had bad balance because she was not a vaulting horse. She was just really tiny horse and only for riding. But you take whatever you have. If you don't have anything else, you take what you have.
Yeah,
right?
for sure. And you need to be happy with everything you can.
Yeah.
I understand. That's true.
But I was like, I was never afraid on her. I could do whatever, as long as I knew she had balance for it, because she was not very balanced.
Yeah.
But when you have like a horse that is spooky, you're always like sitting on needles. You don't know, can I do now or not? And then you will not be able to do maybe some things away from the surcingle. Maybe you just want to hold on the surcingle for your safety, I think.
Yeah, it is. I had also with my black horse, my first horse, he was with me for 10 years, and I really trusted him for like 300%. I could do everything on him, and then we searched for another horse, a new horse, my Esprit. And it's really like you need to start from zero again to teach him everything, and sometimes it goes a little bit wrong. But you need to build up your confidence again. It's not what you're used to. It's not that one horse who you can trust for 300%. You need to build up, and then sometimes you fall, and then I had some injuries like my shoulder, and then you need to be operated and you're 6 months out. And then the mind sometimes is thinking a little bit more, because you already had some big injuries and you don't want to be out for 6 months again. But you get over that again and again and again. That's no problem. But sometimes you're in the moment and then it needs some more time to get over it again.
I have been quite lucky to not have like big injuries due to sports. Neither before or after my vaulting career. But I have, when you do box jumps, I did box jumps some years ago before vaulting, and I hurt both of my the front of my cuffs, because you know there is only bone structure. So after that, I had really troubles to jump up a box, and I still have, even if the box is soft. Because that first time it was not soft; it was just in wood. So I hurt myself so bad. I could see like almost the bone. I was like, no blood, but I can see the bone, and it hurts like hell. And just like, I took me like several years to really find confidence and getting higher jumps again. And then I had a friend who was like, so you're not gonna train today? And I was like, from my parkour club. And I was like, no, today is an easy day. Well, you could at least do some jumps. And there was a box which was just in wood, not soft, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna do a jump. And of course I bailed out in my head, and I failed, and I was falling with my cuffs, my front side of the cuffs, on the wooden edge again. And that was just some month ago, so it's like, okay, do I really need to get over all of my fears once again. And
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't in the same way as like a couple of years ago, but it was still not so nice. So I was like, I'm just gonna put on my vaulting chins, you know, the ones you use when you're standing in the handles and like pas de deux and squad. So yeah. I was like, I'm only gonna jump with those. But now I'm jumping without them. But yeah, it's like,
yeah, but it is. I understand.
Yeah, and when they tell you it's good to hit your legs, like in like karate or like those fighting sports, it's a myth. It's a myth. It does hurt as hell of a lot still when you hurt it again and again. So it's not gonna get better with time.
Yeah, it is. Just in your mind, you're getting stronger.
Yeah. I think mixed martial arts, it is where they like hurt each other because they want to take away the nerves, the function of the nerves. But
yeah.
I don't believe in that shit. I'm still getting hurt.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, how did you get started with vaulting?
Well, I've always been a gymnastic girl. I did like all-round gymnastic and also as a little flyer acrobatic gymnastics.
Oh, but, like with when you are like three people on a mat and doing like... I've seen that on television. That's so awesome.
Yeah. So I did both. I did like competition in all-round gymnastics. And I did competitions in acrobatic gymnastics, but I was with two. I was like a pas de deux on the ground, as little one.
Okay.
But I trained a lot that year in a week. Every day I was in the gym. For a little girl, it was really a lot. And then one day I saw some show here in Belgium. It's like you have big shows like Appassionata and Cavaluna.
Yeah.
And there I saw vaulting. Just a little note, I saw their vaulting and it was like Carola and Cindy Snekes from Netherlands who were doing vaulting there. So the girls are also competing on international competitions. And I saw there for the very first time the sport vaulting. And I was like, what? Mom, I want to do that. My family was already in the horse life, you know, a little bit like the equestrian life.
Yeah.
So I really loved horses, but I did not a lot with it. But then I saw the show and I saw vaulting for the first time and I was like, whoa, Mom, that's nice. I really want to do that sport. And then we searched a club in our country and we find one. And I started with vaulting and I really I quit it with gymnastics then. I did a little bit gymnastics more, but only like 2 hours in a week. And I started really hard with vaulting at that moment. I think I was 10 or 11 years old.
All right. So you really had a long sports career through life.
Yeah. But I started when I was 10 or 11, but I really had a good basic because I did so much gymnastics, I think.
Yeah. And you said you're still doing some gymnastics.
What? Can you repeat?
And you told me before that you are still doing some gymnastics.
Yeah, I did... I think till 2 years ago, I still did gymnastics in my club, in my gymnastics club, where
right.
I started as little girl.
Yeah.
Just to do like for 2 hours in a week, not for competition, but just to be in the gym. But 2 years ago, I quit it also with that because my planning was really getting too busy. And right now, since I own my own club, I also have like a little place who is like a gym hall. We have like a movie, a mechanical barrel, and we have some static barrel and an air track and some parallel bars and some stuff, trampoline and mats. So I have like a little bit my own little gym space, and I train every day in my own little gym space. But I don't go to my gymnastics school anymore.
All right. Well, still, sounds like you have a really cool gymnastics hall now.
Yeah, I really like it a lot.
Yep,
I'm really
everything
happy with my place.
you have everything a Volta wants to.
I'm really happy with that because when I was young, I asked like for 10 years to my parents, please, can I get a barrel? Like just in wood? And they said, yeah, maybe one day you get a barrel. 10 years later, Lauren had still no barrel.
Oh
And
no.
then I go my own way, and I did I get my boyfriend, and we build up our own business, and we build up our own club, and then we made up our own gym hall. So now I'm very happy. I finally have my own barrel and more than that. That's really nice. But I don't want to say I'm not thankful to my parents because I'm really thankful to my parents for all the chances they give me in holding life. They did a lot for me.
Well, I can tell you that I wanted to have a horse all my life when I was a child, or at least go to riding school. And one birthday, they gave me like a box with brushes and like cleaning box for horses. And they borrowed a video from the library because they couldn't afford to get me to riding school. But I was like, yeah, thank you so much. Now I have a grooming box. And a bored video about riding. So, about disappointment as a child, I do understand you. I'm not unthankful for my parents, maybe a little bit of my father because he did spend a lot of money on other stuff that he could have spent on like a happy child going to a riding school. But on the other hand, I think I can't regret anything in my life because then I wouldn't be where I am today and I'm in a happy place today. So, yeah. So, yeah. Well, taking this as something to learn as well, don't give your children a grooming box and a video from the library about riding when they want to go to riding school.
Well, we learned about it for the future.
Yeah. And you have as many wooden horses as you like to now, and I do too. And I already had a horse. So I think like the best day of my life was when I turned 18, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit like
Yeah,
that.
now I do whatever I want to. Well, then there came the consequences and taking care of getting your own money and stuff, but that's a whole different story.
It is. It is. It really is.
Well, tell me about your boyfriend. Does he do any vaulting besides lunging? Lunging you've been telling me about, but what is his background?
He and his brother has a like a manege. You know what a manege is? Like an equestrian school.
All
Yeah, an
right, all right.
equestrian school. Yeah. And they had already some horses from when they were a child, so he is more like he is a better equestrian rider than I am. And I saw him for the first time on the equestrian school from his brother, and then we get in contact. And one day my mom was, no, first I was ill and I could not ride my horse. And then he said, yeah, maybe I can ride him. And so he started to ride my horse. And afterwards he came to see what sport I was doing, because vaulting is something really special. And then he also tried sometimes lunging. He was lunging already his horses before, but not the lunging like we do in vaulting.
No,
It's
the one the
looking.
riders do where they like walk with the horse all
Yeah, you
the
know that lunging, but not the really lunging
Not the
stuff.
real lunging.
So my mom was lunging me at that moment with my horse, but that did not work really well. You know when your mom and daughter. Then sometimes
Yeah.
it goes a little bit bad,
Well, it
but
can go
she did.
really, really good, but can also go really, really bad.
But she did the best she could do. She was not really like a horse person, so it was sometimes really hard for
Oh.
her. Yeah,
Well, kudos to your mom, really. I mean, if she even wasn't a horse person, that's so hard.
Yeah, it is, and she just did it, so I'm really happy with what she did. But then Konrad was there, my boyfriend, and he said, yeah, maybe I can lunch if you want. I am here at the equestrian school, and why not? And then he started to lunch, and that worked really good. And then he lunched more, and from one thing came the other thing, and yeah. So now we are almost, I think, more than 5 years together. So, yeah, we build up a lot of vaulting stuff now.
Well, that's so nice. I mean, my boyfriend isn't really into horses or vaulting at all, but we have other things we have in common. So, but having like a partner who shares your same passion, that's awesome. And
yeah, that's really
you
cool.
can
yeah.
get really far with that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's also hard. Because if you share the same passion and you have also some same goals, then you can be really hard for each other, like in training or something. He trains me also sometimes. But yeah, because you are really close to each other, sometimes that's really hard to manage a training for each other. Because you're a little bit harder than you would be for somebody else. And then sometimes it's getting in a big discussion or something. So it's really nice, but sometimes it's also, it can end up with a big discussion after training.
Well, thank you for reminding me about that, because then I can appreciate that my boyfriend is not interested in horses at all. Everything comes with advantages and disadvantages. I mean, you know, the typical thing, I have straight hair, I want to have curly hair. I have curly hair, I want straight hair. You always want what you don't have, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's totally right. That's totally right. But I have some own coaches also now who train me, and that works also good. That we don't need to do it totally on our own.
Yeah.
But he is teaching also the girls in the club and stuff. So that's really nice, because he really involved him in vaulting. Like, he was just a rider, but at the moment he is really into the vaulting.
I guess he has at least tried some exercises on the horse.
Oh yes, he did. He really did. He already jumped on in canter.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it was not really smooth, but he was on the horse. He was on. He in walk sometimes when the girls are laughing with him. Oh, come on, Conrad, you go on the horse now. And then sometimes he goes on a horse. I think it's not really to do a competition, but it's fun.
Well, yeah, and also I think you should not underestimate, I mean, in general, not you, but in general, underestimate the power of grown-ups being able to express themselves and have some fun as well. Or, I mean, yeah, you could go, like, when the children have, like, a show in the end of the year or something, why not having some of the parents or the grown-ups there as well? I mean, it's fun, and they like it, and the children like it, so, yeah, I think.
Yeah, I have a lot of parents who ask me, oh, Lauren, when do you give a training for parents? We really want to do vaulting also one time again, Just not too difficult, but we just want to try out what our girls are doing all days.
We have at the club where I train, I'm just going to tell you shortly, but I have a competition horse that lives almost 4 hours away from me, 3-4 hours. So I go there usually twice a month because I don't have a horse at the moment where I live. But at that club, we had like an adult training one time for the parents, a parent training. So it was really appreciated. And, you know, one parent was like really, really good and no one had the idea and she didn't know that as well, but it was really good. And then the other parents, just the understanding of what are my children doing. So one normal training was set aside for the children. They were not allowed to train, so the parents could train that one training. And I think it was a really good idea.
Yeah, it's really nice. And they told me also, and I will fix one training one day for the parents, but first the corona needs to be a little bit better. And then we can manage some maybe in summer or stuff.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, like that. That would be great. I think a lot of parents would like that.
Since I have a simulator, I really want to have like an adult group as well, because I think there are so many adults who would like to do vaulting as well. And also, I found some old vaulters around here. I had no idea there was a vaulting club locally like many years ago, but there was. So I found an old vaulter. She's over 40, but she came. She wanted to do vaulting again because she said it was the only time in her life where she felt really, really good in her body. So she just really wants to do it like for just like usual sports. So I was like, yeah, why not? I mean, you can use the horse. You don't only have to do cantering. You can do so much in walk and trot as well. If it's not like for a competition and or small competitions in walk or something is fine too. But I mean, you can do a lot and make a lot of people happy. Even grown-ups.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, do you have any idols when it comes to vaulting? Do you have any people you look up to, or not up to, but you're inspired by?
That's a good question. I think everybody is inspired by Lambert.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's really like a phenomenon in vaulting. I think nobody can reach the level that he's reaching. He's training also a lot for it. I think that's really an like kind of idol, just the level he reached. I really have so much respect for everything he do.
That's cool. Do you have any idols who are like maybe not vaulters too?
Yes. I'm really a fan of Simone Biles. Simone, that's a gymnastics girl, and she is really like, I think she's not even a human.
Yeah.
but she's really nice. Yeah, I'm a big fan of her.
Oh, me too. I love her. I love her way of being, but also her artistics and gymnastics. She's really, really cool girl.
Yeah.
There are several girls from UCLA, I think, who are really, really good. And it's...
Yeah, and you see also, you're not sure about that, but you have the feeling that their atmosphere and the team and everything around is also really, really cool.
Yeah.
And that looks really with the flow and that's doing so much. It's nice to see.
I saw a documentary about their trainer. They don't have her anymore. Valerie is her name. And I think she made this atmosphere. And the funny thing is, I want to have like really good atmosphere for my vaulting group. At the moment, I just have a small one, but I want to have more in the future. And there is something that they have in the gymnastics club I have started to train in this last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this, when somebody learns something new, they go to a bell and ring the bell, and then everybody stops doing what they do, and then this person shows the new skill in the gym.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, and then everybody applauses when they did it, and I think this is such a nice attitude and atmosphere, just like you described it. I think you can build something like that also with vaulting. One time I took like handstand canes with me to training, because I sometimes when I have like new stuff for my vaulting training, I take it with me to the gym, because I think they want to try it as well. It's like an adult group with like 20 or 30 adults, like a lot of people, and I take like my toys with me and let them train and try, and then I tried to do a handstand on it and it worked out quite good. And then everyone was like starting to applaud, and I was like, oh my god, I love this. Because it's such a positive attitude.
The vibes and attitude. Yeah, and that is doing really a lot. That's doing really a lot. Then you have in your mind like something really special, and that keeps you going really strong. But I kind of like the idea from the bell. I think I
yeah.
keep that in mind for my club.
Do it. Maybe there's something else that one can do, or there is a bell that the horse could get used to, because when you want to have a horse with you, or maybe if you just wanted to do it in your training room where you don't have a horse. Yeah. I mean, I'm also looking into that. I'm going to go to like a store soon and look if they have like a bell, a cheap bell to buy.
Yeah, that's really nice. I keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm glad to share that. Everybody wants that idea. It's awesome. Take it.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's fine. And everybody who hears the podcast, right? Well, yeah. Well, I think I have like gone through like all the... Oh, wait, there's one important question.
More questions?
Yeah, one more. What's your favorite training outfit and color? I mean, we've been talking about your collection. Is there something, a piece that you are really proud of and you really like a lot?
That's so hard. Damn, I like a lot.
Okay, when you open your drawer and you have like... Say you have everything is clean and dried. I mean, of course, that will like never happen. But just like think about it would be like that. Which one would you choose?
From my own closet, huh?
Yeah. If there's any of your collection. Oh no, you don't have to be.
Yeah, it is one of my collection. I think I only wear.
You only wear your collection. That's awesome.
I think it would be my blue. I have like a blue marble print.
Yeah.
It's like a really, it's like marine blue.
Yeah.
Or aqua blue.
Yeah.
And it's with some marble print in it. Yeah. And a little bit gold pieces inside.
Ooh.
And I really like that print. So yeah, it will be this one, I think. Yeah, if I need to choose one, then that's my favorite one.
How many of them do you have in that color?
That color, I only have 4, I think. So that's kind of okay, no?
Well, at least it's more than one, right?
Yeah, it's more than one.
Well, my drawer with workout clothes has gotten so full now, so I just like have to open another one and like, okay, I'm gonna put down the winter training clothes in that one and the summer training clothes in one.
I know that I have the same.
Yeah, and then the funny thing is I like to wear workout clothes all the time because then I can move freely whatever the task is that could happen during the day. And I call the other drawer with like the normal clothes, I call them the normal boring clothes drawer.
Yeah, but it really is. When I need to choose between my legging or my jeans, I definitely choose my legging because it's so much more comfy to wear a whole day than you need to wear a jeans. I really prefer my leggings.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Because you never know when you have to, like, stretch your foot in any way to, like, open a window or anything. Yes. Try to stretch whenever you can, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Well, do you have any more topics or something you were thinking about you wanted to talk about? Something I missed?
Not really at the moment, I think. Yeah, maybe one day when I quit vaulting, I really would like to be in the vaulting, to stay in the vaulting world as trainer and as lunger and to do more organization stuff. So yeah, for me that's I think vaulting will be forever in my life. It will not be when I stop vaulting, then vaulting is done. It will be forever my life, because now at the moment we also organize CVI in Belgium, and I really hope one day to organize like a really big CVI or even a championship. So yeah, it's not when my own career quit that my goals in vaulting quit. I think it will keep going.
That's awesome. I really love that, and also the feeling that you have created your job. You have created what you want to do in your life. And I mean, there are so many people doing jobs they don't like and don't love, and they are unhappy at their job. But if everybody would just do what they love, there would be a job enough for everybody. I know that the Bureau for Work have told me that one time, a long time ago. Yeah. They said that there are enough jobs for everybody, but if everybody would work with what they want to work,
yeah,
the problem would be solved of being unemployed. So, yeah. It's such such a great thing. You are doing what you love. I'm really happy for you, and you're an inspiration for everybody else who wants to work with vaulting.
Thank you. I'm really happy with the way it is working right now too, and I hope to continue like that. And then we see what the future will bring.
Well, there was actually a question I was remembering now. I wanted to ask you, what do you do when you're not doing vaulting? Is there anything you like besides horses, or it's like 24/7, 365? Horses, vaulting.
Then I am on my phone.
You're on your phone?
Then I'm on my phone and I'm checking Instagram or planning some other coachings. But besides like the busy stuff, I really like to go on a holiday. I really go to on holiday and to go like a week for skiing. I really like, or a week to a really warm place. I go a lot to Italy in summer. It's like the usual stuff. I'm 24 and every summer we go to the lake of Garda in Italy.
Yeah, I know where that is. It's so nice.
Yeah, so it's like my little bit like my second home. And I still really like that. That's really no vaulting, no horses. And it's like 1 or 2 weeks in a year, but it's so fun and it's so relaxing to go there. So yeah, that's something I really like.
That sounds very nice.
Yeah.
Well, it was very nice talking to you. I'm so happy you wanted to be on the podcast.
Yeah, with pleasure. It was nice to be here with you.
If you have any questions or ideas for new episodes of this pod, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us through Instagram, where the name is The Vaulting Blog, or by email, which is thevaultingblog@gmail.com.